Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched The Wicker Man. The Wicker Man is a 1973 British folk horror film directed by Robin Hardy and written by Anthony Schaefer. It follows Police Sergeant Neil Howie, who is called to an island village in search of a missing girl whom the locals claim never existed. He soon discovers the paganistic beliefs the village has prescribed to and believes that the girl's disappearance may be part of a ritual. Holding true to his own Christian beliefs, Howie must navigate around the machinations of the villagers in order to solve the mystery before the sacrifice takes place.
I'll tell you what. If I just showed you a still image from this film, any still image from this film,
yeah,
and I said, boys, when was this film made and set, you would say 1973.
Yes. 100%.
Every day of the week.
Holy shit, it is the most 70s movie I've ever seen. And it also, fuck, I loved it.
It works.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen the remake, but I assume that doesn't work.
I imagine.
Is the remake set in the same time period or did they update?
No, I think they modernise it and it's set in America idiots. And it's Nick Cage instead of a horny, repressed Scottish man.
Yeah. A virgin cop.
Virgin
what
cop.
What a sad tale of woe.
Okay, of all cops are virgins. it's a movie that I was like, the remake sucks, right? So I always attributed that maybe the original also sucked.
Oh, no, I always knew it had a standing, but like I was too scared to watch it.
Yeah.
I thought it would be more disgusting or more upsetting, but I kind of really enjoyed it. And I think a big part of that is Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee the music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the musical.
The songs. It's a musical. There's a song every 10 fucking minutes.
It's wild. It is wild.
Just while we're on the music, how fucked is the scene near the end where he escapes with the girl through the cave? What's that song choice? That's like a completely different movie.
It's like, bam.
Yeah. Bam, 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 bam,
bam, bam. The song that got me was when they're at the tavern and they sing the song about the landlord's daughter.
Yeah.
And how hot she is and how everyone gets a boner for her.
Yeah.
And really just wants to fuck her. Like, and the whole town's singing along. Mm. She's having a great time. Her dad's over there being a bit sleazy.
I mean, let's
be
real. Yeah. They've all fucked her.
Yes.
It's very early in the movie.
It's early. Yeah. That's the thing. It's before all of it really hits home.
Yeah.
And you're like, why is this whole town singing about fucking the landlord's daughter? This is a bit off.
But then 5 minutes later, he goes out for a walk and everyone's fucking in the graveyard.
Right. Are you like, oh, that's why. Oh, okay. I get it.
Like, it starts out with just a thin veil of horny, and you're like, oh, there's a little bit of horny on the edges of this film, and bam, that song, and then, everyone in the graveyard fucking, and Jesus Christ.
And then literally the next day, you have that song, everyone's horny, you then have the little encounter where he brings her a man to fuck.
Mm. Yeah.
And then literally the next day, there's those kids playing on the maypole singing about a penis.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's a very horny island. And the songs are horny, but they're beautiful. It's so good.
It is such an important part of this movie, the music, I reckon. Like, it so sets the tone where there is something charming about it, but it is also disconcerting
and
unsettling.
It's a trance-like quality, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the Maypole's such a good example where on its surface, you're like, oh, this is just a lovely, like, it could be pulled from a fantasy book and I'd love reading that scene.
Yeah.
But in this context, no, it is so unnerving and gross, kind of.
I think the songs speak to the theme of the whole film and all of the horror elements of it. In that the songs are catchy and fun, and then you hear the lyrics.
Yeah,
and you're like, yeah. Oh wait. Oh, hang on. Are they singing about what I think they're singing? And the bawdy song sounds like, oh, it's just a bawdy song. But some of the other like weird little incidental songs later. I say incidental, they're all pretty prominent, but yeah. Songs throughout it, yeah, it's basically a musical. You're like, oh, this is a bop, and then you're like, oh, okay, basically every song in this movie felt like how I felt when I first heard the lyrics for Pumped Up Kicks.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you're like, yeah, this is fun, I love this song, and then you read the lyrics and you're like, oh no!
You should not be dancing to this.
Oh, but I can't stop.
The whole movie has that quality, like even right at the end when shit's very bad, Christopher Lee's just unbridled joy when he's like dancing and singing.
Oh, yeah.
As they light the Wicker Man up, and I got caught in the moment of, oh, good for him. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, no, they're murdering this guy.
Yeah,
yeah.
This poor virgin cop.
And he's like screaming to God and because they're singing their like weird party song, and you get caught up in that and you realize he's singing like, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, yeah, so he's I'm going to die.
Yeah.
One thing I did like is in a lesser movie, he would have a crisis of faith at that point.
Right.
But he doesn't. He's like, no. Like, he does have a little panic when he realizes that they're going to kill him.
Mm. Yeah.
But in his final moments, he believes he's going to heaven.
Yeah. In a lesser movie, he wouldn't have died.
Yeah, no.
Someone would have come over the hill and saved him. Or, like, I think at one point, one of the studio notes was like, can't we just have it like rain suddenly? And the Wicker Man gets put out by the rain. And they're like, nope.
That would have entirely undone the message of this film, which is like, if that had done, you're like, oh, an act of God. Like, it would have completely undercut the whole message.
Because also, you don't know that what they do is going to work.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I love that.
You don't know that either of their things are going to work.
No. And that's what I really loved most about this film was when it did talk about his Catholicism, it was talking about in the exact same context as their paganism.
Yeah.
Like, the opening shot of this film had me immediately, because weirdly, you and I had actually talked about this not too long before, where I was brought up very Catholic, and it's not until like I've been a lapsed Catholic for a good long time now, and I've had to go back for some of my nieces and nephews, like communions and this sort of
stuff. It's all still there, isn't it, Damo?
Oh, it's 100% all still there. I can say it word for word. Freaks holy out. But also you realize with that distance and coming back into it, you realize how weird all the rituals are, and that they are just rituals like any other belief system.
Yeah, it's a big cult.
Yeah.
Like, you drink the blood of a guy.
Yes, and that's the opening scene. Like, easily the weirdest part of the standard ceremony is, here is blood of your Christ, and you're going to drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had a pagan person doing that, you'd be like, oh, that's fucked from, like, that is out there.
Yeah.
Oh, also, here's a bit of bread too. That's his flesh, just FYI.
Yeah.
Like, it's so messed up. And so to start with that church scene of our protagonist at church, at that exact moment where he is drinking the blood and he is eating the bread. And it's obviously we don't get that context just yet, but it sets it up beautifully.
Yeah. We were talking about, Tom, we were talking about that idea of like, if you banned kids from learning about religion when they're younger and you say you turn 20 and then it's like, all right, here's the deal with religion. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yes.
You would.
You'd be like, this is mad.
You absolutely, like,
no interest.
It's, I also was like, went to a Catholic school,
but
like my parents weren't super religious. My dad went to Catholic school. My mum isn't Catholic at all.
Mm.
My dad's parents are. So they'd like, you go to church for like Christmas to send mass with your family.
Yeah.
That was like a traditional thing. But then that stopped as time went on. I may have already said it on this podcast previously, but I know that like my grandfather, when he died, made a real conscious effort to have included in his eulogy that he was disappointed in how the church handled the whole like Royal Commission into child abuse. And he was like, I went to church a lot, but you guys fucking lost me with the kiddie abuse.
Yeah.
And like, it's such an interesting thing that when you step exactly the same thing, I saw that and I was like, yeah, man, religion's cooked.
Yeah.
Like, and all of them are, because they're all, and I'm not getting all like, oh, I'm being edgy religion. I'm not being a full Ricky Gervais, because I don't know how fucking anything works out there.
Sure,
I'm
a
very dumb man. I barely know how to use my computer. So,
as we've well and truly discovered,
But like, it's all of it is stemmed from, we don't know how this works, so we'll come up with something.
Yep.
And all of them have these weird rituals that, when you show us the pagan ones, it's like, yeah, of course. Oh my God, they're burning a guy.
Right.
Yeah. So Christianity's big thing was that a dude sacrificed his life for us so that our lives would be better, which is exactly the same as what they're trying to do by burning that man alive.
Right. Right.
This movie's very clever.
Oh, it's honestly, I really like that part of it.
And horny.
And horny. And like, That's something else I wanted to talk to you guys about. Like this, we honestly don't go looking for horny horror movies.
No.
But we keep finding them nonetheless.
Horror movies find us. Horny horror movies.
Horny horror movies. Well, what I wanted to sort of bring up, like, do you think there is a connection between horror and horny?
I think there is, yeah.
Elaborate, please.
Well, I just think that it's, you go to the darkest side of some people's natures.
Yeah.
And then horniness just...
It's there.
Pops
its
head up and says, hello, I'm here all the time. I think, yeah. No, I do. I mean,
yeah.
It's not, we've watched a lot of horror now. It's not present in everything.
No, I know.
But it's present in the ones that are really fucking cooked. Like the ones that stand out in our mind. Like Dracula, obviously, was... Yeah. Off its head, horny.
Off its head.
But even slashers. Like, slashers, they're horny. Because the whole thing is it was you're being punished for being horny.
Yeah.
Like, you go off and have sex, you die.
Yep.
That's Scream subverts that a bit, but, like, those films are deeply rooted in that.
Mm-hmm.
Vampires are super sexual.
Oh, yeah.
Werewolves are super sexual.
Yep.
The mummy, he's gross, but he just wants a kiss.
Yeah.
That's literally... All horror, I think... is a little horny.
Well, I think all horror is like heightened adrenaline, and that's not too far away from being horny.
Yeah, really. That's a good point. Yeah.
We've all seen the movie Crank. That's how he keeps his heart rate going. Yeah. He fucks his girlfriend in public.
We're all going to be there at some point.
Yeah. We're up, someone's
to survive.
Put poison in our system. We've got to keep our heart rate over X.
Yep.
And we're going to have to fuck somebody in public.
Yeah.
Or die.
I mean, it does work well for us, the audience's experience, because we're going from... being scared or being like unsettled to being like, I'm a bit fucking aroused. What do I do with all this? Like, it is like, especially like for this movie in particular, because it so put us into the mindset of our protagonist where definitely I was confused at points.
Yep.
Definitely I was like, this is erotic, you know, like I'm not getting off on it, but like I could see that, yep, that's a bit hot, whatever. And also him, like, having to resist that temptation and resist this allure of the island.
That scene...
Oh,
that's
man.
Where she's singing the song and she's dancing nude in the room and banging on the walls and he's, like, sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's awful about this movie, too, is that he wins.
Mm.
He resists the temptation time and time again. He successfully goes undercover. He finds the girl. But it doesn't matter.
No.
Because he never actually had a chance to begin with. He is... Yep. A rat in a maze and there is no exit.
That scene is one of the more like controversial ones from the film. And it's funny because the actress hates it because it's not some of it's her, but some of it isn't.
Okay.
Because I think at the time she was pregnant and she just wasn't like, she didn't want her body seen basically.
Yeah.
I think from the top up it's her, but anytime it's like the shots of her ass,
right?
There's a butt double and she hates the butt double because it's a massive ass and she wasn't happy with it or something. There's all this controversy. And also, did you watch her character and think, something's like really off with her, not just normal off, like her voice is dubbed.
There's a scene where she obviously is dubbed. It's the scene where he brings her, Christopher Lee brings her that boy.
And her
mouth doesn't move when she's like, don't you mean tribute to for Aphrodite?
Yeah.
He's like, but, no.
But even like anytime she was talking to Howie, I'm like, there's a clear discrepancy in the audio quality between both your dialogue.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not her voice because I think she's a Swedish actress. And she did a Scottish accent and they weren't happy with it.
Oh,
so they dubbed her out. But then there's all this like, this movie's got a bit of a cursed vibe to it. Because then like years later, they're like, no, that's her voice. And she's disputing that it's her voice. And other people, like the audio files were lost and all sorts of shit. So some people think it's her, some think it's not. She says it's not. She's annoyed because she's like, it's the only film I ever did where it's not me.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a
weird film. See, her boyfriend at the time, her boyfriend was Rod Stewart. He tried to block the release of the film because he didn't want his girlfriend to be naked on screen.
Oh, Rod.
Rock and Rod
had everything going.
Can I just say, that flies in the face of everything Rock and Rod Do You Think I'm Sexy stands for.
Yeah.
What? Hang on, he's out there singing songs about sex, being the horniest man in the world, and he wants to ban everyone else from being horny.
That's right.
Rod, I believed in you. Yep. When you said, if you think I'm sexy and you want my body, come on, let me know. Yeah. I thought you wanted me to let you know. You were lying. You looked me in the eye, Rod, and you lied.
This is...
Fuck you, Rod Stewart.
This is Christopher Lee's favourite film that he's ever made.
Makes sense.
Fair.
He's having a ball.
It's great.
He also... I don't know if this actually happened, but I know that he offered to be in it for free. He didn't want to get paid because he's loved the idea of it so much.
Oh, shit.
And also, he paid for his own press tour because they didn't have money to promote
it. Yeah, right.
He travelled all around the country He did everything. He was on like local TV ads, local papers. He just promoted the fuck out of this movie. He loved it so much.
He's having a boss.
He's having the best time.
He's trying
to get
Kush.
That's the one more thing I thought you guys would love. He tried to get Kush to play Howie. Kush couldn't do it because of like a scheduling conflict. Imagine that.
It was nearly Kush.
Yeah, it was nearly Kush.
I wouldn't have believed it though.
I mean,
because there's no way that Kush would have resisted the horny temptation.
Well, no, it would have flipped the movie completely because the whole town would have wanted to fuck Kush.
Right. Yeah. As this movie,
actually, I would never buy Kush as a virgin either. Like, let's be real.
I mean, it would have rocketed the horny levels way too high. No one could have focused.
It would have been the horniest movie of all time.
Absolutely. But I think the reason it's so horny is because it needs to be in direct opposition with how conservative he is.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, everything they do. And it's not presented... That's the thing I find so fascinating about it is there is some weird stuff happening, but at no point are they presented as being... weird.
Yeah.
Like when Christopher Lee's explaining it, he's like, yeah, we just started doing this because it helped the crops grow and and now it's...
Mm.
And they kind of do this thing where just before the last sort of 10 minutes when you realise that, like, when they're doing their decapitation scene and it's staged and you go, the whole thing's just pageantry. Like, it's just costume. They're not actually going to kill someone.
Right.
Psych.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, on the explanation of sort of how this paganism came back to this island that was Catholic, I really like that too, because one, they didn't even need to explain it. We could have, like, there's so much unexplained, it would have been fine to not include that beat.
Yeah.
But him explaining about how his ancestor had came to this island, knew he would get the locals on board by saying, oh, I've got a way to turn your crops around, you just need to pray to the sun god, blah, blah, blah. But really, it was just that he had these plants that would be more suitable for this island.
Yeah.
And then it worked, and so, of course, they all believed because he told them that was why. It was because of going back to paganism. Like, it was such a nice little thread for me, again, who loves rules and loves logic in my movies. I was just like, fuck, that actually makes sense. And Lee delivered it beautifully because he shines like the sun god in this movie.
He really does. He's so disarming.
Yeah.
Until the final beat. And I like, it's not super, you're right, it's not super horrifying until the movie's over. I remember I was sort of thinking about it later and was like, they just burn a guy.
Oh, that's pretty bad. But just in that moment where you see his face when a plan has come together and you're just like, fucking good on him.
Yeah, you kind of...
Good on him. He believed. And here we go. It's probably not going to work, but hey.
Yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, well, let's go to were we scared then?
No, not really, but like unnerved the whole way through just because of the reputation of the film, I think.
Yeah.
But then, having completed it and got through it, I'm like, cool. Just a really good movie.
I'll watch it again.
Oh, 100%.
I liked it a lot.
I won't rush to watch it again, but I will at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time I want to be confused and horny, I'll be watching it again.
Yeah. There we next go. Time I want to hear some absolute bangers, like Johnny's getting fucked in the garden or whatever that song was, I will be hitting this film up.
Yeah. Literally, like, I was going to download the soundtrack because the first few songs, I'm like, this is great. I love a bit of Celtic music. And then, the words sort of sink in. You're like, I don't think I want... Like, I was going to use it for writing music. I'm like, all my writing will turn weird and horny and paganistic.
It could work.
Fuck, maybe I should.
Might be a cursed soundtrack.
Yeah.
So was there any other ones that were cursed?
Oh, I read a bunch of just weird shit that now I've forgotten in the moment. But, there was... People should read into it because it was just a lot of, like, just little weird things that happened.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And even, like, just the... You know, the people who financed it were just, like, disgusted. They were like, what have you fucking made?
Wow.
So, there was a few different cuts. I think I read at one point one of the producers or something deliberately destroyed the final cut, and they had to use a different cut.
Shit.
All sorts of weird shit happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, like, all sorts of weird shit happening is so perfect for this film, because for me, was I scared? Yeah, like, I wasn't outright scared, but there, like you said, there's that sense of unnerve throughout, because this movie does come with a history, and it does come with the paganism, and, like, even, like, the little elements that they include, like, the woman breastfeeding in the cemetery holding an egg.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get explained.
Yeah.
Nah. It doesn't need to get explained. It's just there, like the maypole scene, the beetle on the string.
That's so good. That whole thing where she's like, the beetle keeps going around and around and gets closer and closer until it's stuck.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's what this guy's doing. He's going around and around and around the town. That's
really clever.
And he's now stuck.
He's only, getting closer to the center. Yeah. Yep. That is great. And the masks as well. Definitely those, not a fan of.
Yeah. When you're trying to get the seaplane started and they all just like slowly pop out one by one and then all disappear.
That's when like comes at a moment where you're like, this movie's already cooked, and then, oh, it's gone up another fucking level. This is just weird. The actor was definitely scared during this.
He said
that during the burning scenes, the most frightened he's ever been in his life.
Wow.
Because he's in that thing. I don't know what the safety standards were, but he's not in it for like all of it, but for certain shots, he was like, I felt like I was on fire. I felt like I was burning.
And you've already said it was a budget film.
Yeah, like, I read that at one point they had an animal above him, because you know it's filled with animals and stuff as well, and one of the animals got scared when the fire was on and just pissed on his head.
Shit.
So it was just all happening.
That's brutal, man. Yeah.
Howie, my dude.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah. Should have had sex, mate.
Should have put
her out. Even just rub one out.
Yeah. So is she testing him in that part of the film?
I think absolutely. So, yeah. Yeah.
Could have got out, mate.
Then you get that great little bit. Well, basically, yeah, because if he goes in and he had sex with her, they wouldn't be able to use him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, he would have been fine if he'd fucked.
Yep. If he'd just given up the goods, mate.
Jesus.
Give in. It's really the reverse of a horror idea then.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you bone, you can go home. But yeah, I think that's the thing. It's unnerving the whole way through, and you're also not sure what the next beat is going to be. Because the other thing, too, is that the villagers aren't like... They're not outwardly hostile.
No.
They're not keen on him coming to the island. But then they're not like they're all watching him. But it's more, it feels curious. It doesn't feel like, who the fuck's this guy? Like, he's welcomed in everywhere he goes. They're happy to chat to him. They all just lie to him.
Yeah. Mm.
And then when he's like, you lied to me, they're like, yeah.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
because she's not really dead, you know. And then he finds like all these little weird things. They're like, yeah, that's just how it is here.
Yeah.
You know. It's not bad. It's just how things work.
We're not doing it out of malice or anything like that. You're just an outsider. You know, you don't understand how it works.
That's it. Even when they burn him, they're not thirsty to watch a man burn. They're just like, this is part of the process.
Yeah, great. We're going to have some awesome crops this year.
For the crops.
Yeah. It's like, it is a celebration.
Yeah.
Which is like, and that definitely was unsettling, like you said before, with Christopher Lee being joyous in that moment, but also the rest of the town and the kids, and even like a little part of me, I think, in that moment. Like, Christopher Lee is converted. So charming.
Got I join that cult tomorrow.
Yeah. He is just so calm and centered and just a beautiful man. Like you're saying, he's very charming and very, like, you can get why he convinces people.
Mm-hmm.
But you do also have the sense that he has got something larger at play and that he is this puppet master. I know he's a puppet master, but I can't see the strings. I don't know what he's doing. Like, that's where his character really becomes unsettling.
He's very much like Anthony Hopkins in Silence.
Yeah,
in
great call.
You're a bad dude, but you have just a charisma that is, I want to talk to you.
Yes.
I want to be here in your company.
Yeah.
And then die.
And I want you to win.
Yeah.
I want you to win.
Yeah, he's kind of the hero of the film.
Oh, just, there's some great bits just in that back, like, everything's kind of weird and trippy, and then that last 15 minutes is just hectic. How he delivers some of the best stuff he's done the whole film.
Yeah.
And just some of those lines where
that
he's like,
that speech to the people's
And the fact that they just don't care.
Yeah.
Because they don't believe what he believes.
Yeah. And again, this is where, like, him spouting that belief is the same as them spouting their belief.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into, did he act wisely or foolishly?
I think he did. What else could he have done?
Yeah.
He's a very competent sort of detective. He actually figures it out pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, not every time they try to mislead him,
he's like, no.
Yeah. His only mistake really is not, I guess he couldn't go home because the plane didn't work.
Yeah. His only mistake.
But I mean, if he was really dead set, just steal a boat, get back to the mainland.
Yeah.
Well, I think the issue is by the time he finds the, because that's the other thing, he's so dedicated to finding this girl that by the time he finds her, it's too late.
Yes, yeah.
Because he's already at the top of that.
Yeah, like...
She's literally bait.
Yeah. And Christopher Lee has got out of his costume very quickly.
Yeah.
Looks good, though.
Oh, yeah.
Him looking like Sher, just running around with a sickle above his head.
Yeah.
Fuck. Why are we talking about him playing Dracula and Saruman and all these other great performances?
This is his best work.
It's his best fucking work.
He should have won an Oscar for this, really.
It's honestly great. And like,
and I don't mean that facetiously.
I don't know. He's got many terrific performances, like you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Many of them. But
it's one of the best.
This is fucking really good.
Yeah. Well, back to the character of Harry. I really liked this character, and I agree. I think he acted wisely. He could, and also, he's such a good character. He couldn't have acted any other way. And the thing I kind of found myself realizing afterwards was, like, he was such the perfect protagonist because, like, if you, especially for a horror film, putting a protagonist in their worst personal nightmare will always work wonderfully. And this is literally his nightmare for someone who's so conservative, who's so Catholic.
Yeah.
This island is just the worst place he could ever be. But he keeps pushing on. Like, he is such a good guy who wants to get the job done. He keeps pushing on. So, like, really, like, what is his mistake other than maybe...
Going to the island in the first place.
Going to the island in the first place. But even then, yeah, he got this note. He kind of had to. And then maybe trusting the little girl. But again, he was so focused on saving her. Yeah. How could he possibly see the larger game at play?
He did everything right.
He did. It's one of those movies where they literally... You're absolutely right. It's the perfect scenario. But also, they took his greatest strength and just turned it into a weakness.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, he came to that island.
Didn't turn it into a weakness until it was too late.
Yeah. Came to the island, did his job efficiently, didn't get seduced, didn't cheat on his fiancée back home.
Yep.
Did everything right.
Yep.
Found the girl, and then they're like, nah, we got you.
Yeah. Solved every little mystery along the way.
Yeah.
Was like, nah, this is bullshit. This is bullshit. This is, stop trying to lie to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
So managed to survive pretending to be the fool.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was and that was such a great scene as well, because now he's literally having to put himself completely out of his comfort zone to get the win, to solve the mystery and find the girl. Like, even that, to get him in that suit, I think there's a line.
He became the monster.
He did become the monster. And there's a line when he's dressed up as Punch the Fool where Christopher Lee says, cut some capers, man!
And he gets he starts doing, like, this weird little jig. Oh, man.
Fuck, it's great. It is so good. All right, boys. Then how would we do on this island?
Well, I've got a controversial statement to make.
Yes.
So I think we would be fine. I don't think we'd be killed. And do you want to know why?
Because
I'm not that strong.
Because we put out?
That dance would be happening next door and I'd be like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
But if their intention is to bring you to the island to kill you, you being like, cool, I'll dance with you, they're like, all right, cool, that's just going to make it easier to kill you.
Well, no, because if I'm seduced and have sex, I can no longer be the sacrifice.
Right. So presumably they've brought the three of us this island because we're all virgins.
Yeah. Big virgins.
Big old V-card carriers.
Definitely not true. We've all had sex. Oh.
We're like the most sex-having people.
Probably at least 30 times.
This day. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Fuck. I'm 80% sex.
Well, that's the case. We all get seduced by what's her name.
Well, here's what I like about this idea.
With the dumb voice.
Is that this...
That's my kink.
Yeah. Voice dubbing. Yeah, I love it when their voices don't match their mouths moving.
But it basically turns into, like, us needing to, like, get laid. This is like a prom high school movie.
It becomes American Pie.
It becomes American Pie, exactly right. Yeah. The three of us in American Pie is what this movie becomes.
Yeah, everyone knows that third base is being set alight in a giant wicker man.
Yep. Is Christopher Lee Eugene Levy's character?
Absolutely.
He's got the eyebrows.
So, that's Eugene Levy and... Punch the Fool is Stifler, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So, we just got to get laid.
I think if it comes down to it also, I think I'm fine. Because worst case scenario, I get seduced and betray both of you.
Yeah.
So, I survive and probably realize that, we still need a virgin. Yeah. So, maybe I let you both die. Because I found a new life in the... This is going to sound like... I was watching that movie and I was like, man, you know, it'd be easy. Like, living in a cult would be easy. I don't have to be anxious because... They tell me what to think about.
Yeah.
And they look like they're having a good time.
Yeah. They do.
They're singing.
They're dancing naked.
There's food. You get to dance nude a lot.
There's quite a bit of fucking going on.
You get to dress like a wiggle.
Yeah.
You know, there's some good skivvies. I could wear a kilt. I'm in Scotland. Like,
oh, yeah,
you
get to sing a lot.
There are so many boxes. Like, you know what? I'm joining the cult on purpose. They don't even have to try very hard.
Yeah.
I think we're all joining the cult, boys.
I'm not. In serious terms... Once we get the information, we leave the island. If the plane doesn't work, we steal that old fuckhead's boat.
So you give up on looking for the girl?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Because you'd be like, oh, she's dead.
No, but isn't his whole thing... Well, yeah, he thinks... No,
he then realises that... He then has the belief, once he finds the rabbit, and he's reading about the sacrifice...
When does he find the rabbit, though? Is that when the plane doesn't work and he gets back off?
It's when he...
Because we're on that plane.
I think he finds the rabbit before that. He digs up the grave. Okay,
Then why is he trying to get on the plane? His whole thing is, I'm going to go back and tell my boss.
Yeah, and bring
and then we're
going
to come and do a big investigation.
I'm still comfortable doing that, I think. He's mostly going back to get more guys to come back immediately.
Yeah, he wants
to stop the sacrifice.
Smart. I think that's what you and I would do, Damon.
But the problem is... I've sabotaged the plane because I've had sex.
Well, yeah, but we steal a boat then.
But would you be seduced?
Well, yeah, fuck.
Christopher Lee, I'm not talking about like the landlord's daughter.
Oh, who are you talking about?
I'm just saying Christopher Lee looks at you with that smile and is like, Sean, don't you want to just hang out here?
But literally like Christopher Lee will hand deliver you a woman at some point because we see him do it for one of the other island's inhabitants.
Yeah, I feel like Christopher Lee's big move with us, and like, boys, just stick around five, just one more day. Kush is coming, I promise. Yeah. He's coming, I've told him.
He's up this hill.
Yeah.
With the Wicker Man, that's Kush.
Oh, Kush is the Wicker Man. Well, then we're fucked.
Then we're done. Yeah.
I genuinely think we either can't win because it's a trap designed to keep us there.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole thing. Or we win, but now we're a member of the cult. So now our problem is we have to recruit virgins to kill.
I reckon that's 100% what's going on. Because look, I'm picturing me as like teenage virgin Damien.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy would have given, like, I was.
Fuck yeah.
I didn't want to keep that V card.
Teenage me that's like, hey, you do you want to have sex? I'd be like, I don't even know what that is, but yep. Yeah, I don't even know how this works, but fucking let's go.
So we've got to find a better candidate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's a bigger virgin?
So is that, by that logic, there are no virgins on the island? Because that's a grim thought.
Well, no, the kids are. That's why it's always a... The implication is that they haven't had to sacrifice anyone for years. They've had to do a ritual where they, as part of pageantry, they pick a young girl who obviously hasn't had sex because she's a kid.
Yeah.
They do that ritual. She's the sacrifice and she survives.
Yeah.
And he actually says, because, what's the name, says your crops failed last year. He's like, yes, but that's why we've had to go... We've got to give the sun god something to actually latch onto.
Yeah.
So I think they've not had to do sacrifices before because it's worked. The ritual, whether it's real or not, has worked. Yeah. So then this is the first time I've had to get a virgin. So we just have to either come up with a better candidate. Who's a bigger virgin than the three of us?
Well, no, if we go there and we get seduced, then we're out.
Yeah.
We just have to join the cult, probably.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. We're in the cult, and now...
Now we're on virgin hunting duties.
Now they go, because you fucked up, you've got to go and find us.
Boys, you better get some more virgins in here, because you gave up the goods way too easy.
Yeah, we'll sacrifice you to the moon god. Moon god doesn't give a shit if you've had sex or not.
But maybe we can have our cake and eat it too, then. We get seduced. We're not virgins anymore. Yeah. They go, you guys fucked up. You've got to go find them. We go, give us the keys to the plane. We get in the plane. We fly home.
Ooh.
Yeah, but what if the gods are real, Sean? And then we get island Dr. Terror's house of horrors and the voodoo man comes after us in our bachelor pad bat in London.
I think he'd follow us.
Yeah, I think he would.
This is bullshit now.
Hear me out, Sean.
Yeah.
So one thing we've talked about is how fucked religion is.
Yeah.
We need to go find some virgins. We've talked about how Catholic priests suck shit.
Yeah.
We just go get in our plane, go to the Vatican, kidnap the Pope.
This is getting difficult. It's easier just to climb into the Wicker Man and burn.
Burn the Pope. Burn the Pope.
How do we get a meeting with the Pope?
We're telling the truth.
Yeah.
There is a pagan cult operating out here. We've been seduced and we want to come back to the Lord.
Right. I think this turns into American Pie 10 or however many there are. Kidnap the Pope.
Kidnap the Pope. Yeah. Oh, that's it.
We get Syphilis Mum and we get her and we kidnap the Pope.
I mean, the Pope's the biggest virgin in the world.
That's why I suggested him.
Sorry, I was like that. My mind went to, how are we going to infiltrate the fucking Vatican and kidnap the Pope? Yeah. Get that big V-boy.
Yeah, get him in.
Yeah.
He's got his own mobile that we can drive him around in. We can drive him up the hill. We don't even need to put him in the Wicker Man. We can just burn him in the Pope mobile.
He's like you said, he's the biggest V-card carrier out there.
Yeah.
They're going to have the best crops for years.
Fuck. They won't have to do a sacrifice ever again.
Yeah.
Nah, never again. And Christopher Lee will be like, you three are my best friends now. Here's, you get to live on the island with us. And finally... Here is my good friend, the Kush.
Oh, that's the reward.
That's the reward. We get to hang out with the Kush and Christopher Lee.
Kill the Pope, hang out with the Kush.
Yep. And once a year, put on that fun little horse costume and run around.
Oh, yeah. So you're the horse.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be Punch.
Yeah.
You can put on a bright yellow skivvy and lead the way.
Jeff the Wiggle.
Greg is the yellow Wiggle.
Oh, Greg's the yellow.
Jeff
Which one's
purple.
Jeff Purple?
Yeah. Well, the old purple. Then there are new Wiggles
now. I don't know who they are anymore.
Anthony's still there.
And Emma, I think.
Wags the dog.
High five.
This is a different group altogether, Sean. Yeah. You're going to start dropping the hooly doolies in a minute.
I can imagine all those groups living on an island.
Now I'm thinking of like Wicker Man, but it's Wiggle Man, and it's the Wiggles characters, and like there's the pagan god of daisies, and it's a dinosaur, and then there's the pagan god of the sea, and it's Henry the Octopus. Make an offering to him by putting boot polish on the shoreline so he can polish his mini shoes.
That's good.
That's bringing some Cthulhu vibes as well. Yeah. And that's all the scaredy talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scaredy listeners have any comments about this episode or would like to say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at scaredyboys, or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
And I'm on the fuck island.
Yeah, you are, baby. Stay scared, everyone.
If you bone, you can go home.